Matthew chapter 1. And we're jumping into our Christmas series here. We're talking about pregnant. And the idea of expecting great things from God. And when you're like, something good is on the way, and people have that anticipation. You know, no other season, no other holiday, no other time is more characterized than anticipation, with anticipation than with Christmas. And man, I just love making my kids go nuts with anticipation. It's just, I don't know, it's just exciting. You know, it makes it fun, and it makes it special for them. And, you know, the idea of the gifts and the excitement of the gift, it really is from the true meaning of Christmas, that God promised, and he promised huge, and it's like, it's almost here. It's almost here. What I'm about to do is almost here. And there was this expectation. And when it finally arrived, how special it was. But so we're going to be talking now through Christmas, just the idea of the expectation of what God had at Christmas time, and expecting great things from him. So we're going to start off today talking about God with us. Matthew 1:23. So I'm going to turn over there now. Oh, wrong bookmark, sorry. So the idea of God with us, I don't know if you guys ever, does anyone have the family tradition where you like have the nativity scene, and each day of Christmas you like add another thing to the scene? Like, some people used to do that. Lisa's family still does that. And it's like, you add the cow, and then you add the sheep, and then you add Joseph, then you add like some wise men, and then you add, or whatever. You just like slowly build up the scene, and that manger right in the middle, like everything's like, like all the statues are like looking at this middle, and there's nothing there, like this empty spot, right? Until the last day on Christmas Day, and it's born, like, and you finally put Jesus in there, and the scene is complete. It's just like, man, how much it matters, how special it is. Finally, when Jesus showed up, the thing that we've been waiting for, it's like all those little statues were just waiting in expectation, just pregnant with the idea of, I can't wait until God does what he's promised to do. So in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew does a pretty cool thing here at the beginning of his book and at the end. And he starts off with just the total background of Jesus. He says, you know, first of all, here's where Jesus came from. It's like long ago, you know, God's people, there's a long genealogy, and all down through the blood of David, finally we get this guy, finally we get this superhero, God's anointed special person. He's going to come to us finally after all these generations, and this is how it happened. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and not willing to put her to shame, just resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew, as he's narrating this, he says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, and he's talking about the prophet Isaiah. And we get verse 23 here. It says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then it says, when Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did everything that the angel commanded him, and he took his wife, but he did not know her until she had given birth to the son. And he called his name Jesus. Well, a couple things are going on there in that story. And one is like the idea of that marriage, and that young lady has got pregnant, and, you know, it's kind of a bad deal. But also, way before that, is just this idea that Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before any of this, said, basically, God is saying, a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. Now, back when Isaiah said this, it was a completely different time. And there was no young lady that was pregnant. And there was, you know, there was no, there probably really wasn't an expectation of someone to save us from our sins in the sense that we know that now. Back then, they just knew that they just needed God to just plain save them. They were just in trouble. And they basically needed someone to bring order to the mess. And they had known that God made this promise based on King David. David, who God loved. And since David, since having a king who loved God, they had just gotten themselves in such a mess. And God made this promise. Okay, you got yourselves all messed up, but I love you. And I'm going to send someone, and he's going to bring back order, and he's going to bring back peace, and every place where you're getting in trouble, every place where you've been bad, we're going to break all those habits, and I'm going to bring you back to me. And to them, waiting on this Savior was kind of like, God, would you put it back like it used to be? We used to be so close to you, Lord. Would you do that? And God says, yes, I will. I'm so happy and excited to do that. In fact, I'm going to send someone to make it happen. So they had this idea when they think of Messiah is coming or someone's coming, God's anointed one is coming, this Emmanuel. That was kind of a new thing. I know God's sending someone, but he's going to be called Emmanuel. He's going to be called God with us. That's almost like, whoa. Like when we had the heroes of the old days, like when Samuel showed up and tore the lion apart and all the other stuff, we didn't say God was with us. That would have been blasphemy. This was kind of a new thing when Isaiah said this. But they just knew that they needed that help. They needed that king. And one way that God is with us here at Christmas and now as believers and in today's time is he is still sending his son, his hero. He's still sending the Holy Spirit to be with us for the same reason that God's people needed it back then. They needed God to step in and put things back in order and break some of their bad habits, get them out of their sin. And God says, I promise to do that. And when I do that, you'll know that I am with you. And God does that today. It's one thing when we say, God, I want you to be with us. You know, we pray that a lot. Dear Lord, so-and-so's not feeling well right now. I just pray that you be with them. You know, we say that a lot. Would you just be with, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just know, Lord God, if somehow you could be close to them or if you could be close to us, I just know if you were here right now, Lord, something would work out. Even if it's bad, if you're just with me, I just know that we'll make it. You know, and it's that idea that things will be okay when God shows up and God's with us. God can put things back into order. So I have a friend that I met when I started the last church I was at. I just came, Lisa and I were looking for a family church, and we started going there, and I met this guy, and we became great friends over the next few years, but his life was such a mess when I met him. He had been married and had a child, and then they also adopted another child, and then there was a divorce, and then I don't know what was going on with his job, but just everything from top to bottom, his life, front to back, it was just like, he just felt like he was falling apart. And he called Jesus his Savior. He said he was a follower of Jesus, one of his disciples. And it just seemed like day after day, I was like, man, this guy is just taking a beating. I don't know if he's having a bad year, if he's doing it to himself. You know, you don't know, like, what's going on? And so basically he just sort of started talking to this older guy in our church, and this natural mentorship came, and you know, and he just, I don't know, I just saw this change in him. And his attitude changed first. He's like, you know what? Even if things are a mess, I'm just going to get a hold of God, because if I can just get a hold of God, if I can just be with God, and if Jesus is with me, even if stuff is just falling apart, I just know I'll just be okay. So I'm just going to sacrifice everything. Everything else can just fall to the ground. I just need to get a hold of the Lord, and that is number one. I'll worry about the other stuff later. And so it was just this process of him sort of not getting upset about the job thing again, not getting upset about managing the kids and the new split family he's getting used to and things like that. He's like, okay, first thing to do, I'm going to be a godly dad, okay? No matter what. Next thing, okay, work is just insane and no one is happy here and no one treats me well, but no matter what, I'm just going to be, I'm just going to, I'm just going to bring Jesus with me to work every day, no matter what. And God, I'm going to need your help. Would you just be with me at work? And every little piece of his life, he just completely committed. And every time he started a new thing, God, okay, I got this paycheck. I need you to be with me for every dollar spent. Because honestly, I owe more than I got and all this other stuff. What do you want, Lord? And piece by piece, it's nice now to look back and see God started putting an order back into the chaos. And God didn't start doing it until my friend said, I need you to be with me and I'm going to be with you and we're going to be together. God sort of let him go off and do his own thing for a while. But when God came in to, John's life, all the way, God started to bring that righteousness and that order, and bad habits started to be broken. And now he's at the head of a ministry. He's got a new marriage. Now they have grandbabies, and he's just like one of the happiest. He's just a rock. You know, something goes on, and nothing ruins his day. And we just love to get together and, like, tell stories of the old days when things were messy and we were just, like, holding on to God with our knuckles. But God did that for him. God was with him, and he brought the righteousness, and he brought the order back. And so one way that God can be with us, or can be with us at Christmas, or can be with anyone who clings to him and says, I need your presence, I want you to be here with me, is one way is God brings back order. And he does break those bad habits. He brings back righteousness. In one way, God with us means order and righteousness in our lives. You know, if you've got, it's like Christmas time, you've got like one of those maybe just bad habits, you're like, I know it's bad. I myself am sick of it. I'm tired of it. And, you know, one thing is, when God is with me, somehow I just don't feel like I'm tempted to do all those bad things. It's like when I'm sitting next to the teacher, I'm just not tempted to throw any pencils or throw a chalk or, you know, go crazy. I don't know. It's not because I feel guilty. It's just, I don't know. When the teacher's like starts taking good care of me, or when like my dad is with me, he loves me, I want to do the things that please him or please her. I'm just on their team. So God being with us, it's like I'm on their team. And he does that. Those stories, like my friend John, he does that every day. And he's so willing to come down and be with us. I think about Christmas time. It's like, Lord, be with us and be with my neighbor. And what a great time. How powerful that is, as someone who really needs it, that when God is with us, he can bring that order and righteousness. Now, another thing happened here. So Matthew's talking about, okay, Mary's pregnant and engaged to Joseph. Joseph finds out about it. He's planning to sort of dump the wagon over here and go do his own thing. And, you know, he's trying to be honorable about it. So back then, how it worked was, it wasn't just like you could just marry whoever you love. Okay. Whoa, that guy is so dreamy. I would really like to marry him. Let's just go make it happen. That didn't happen back then. Right. Instead, what happened was kind of like, I don't know what you'd call ultra traditional. The parents would get together and they would have to make a deal first. They say, okay, I think your son is going to have a good job and be dependable. They say, okay, your daughter looks like she would manage a household well. Okay. Okay, for this price, I agree to bless your family with this much goods or land or money or whatever, and we're going to make a deal, and our kids will be married. And that's how it was. And the kids had, you know, it was different everywhere you went, and it was regional and stuff, but generally, that was how it happened, and the kids had probably some say-so in many situations, but this was probably what happened here. So Mary was betrothed to Joseph. So in other words, the deal had already been done. Now, what would happen when they did that was, okay, as soon as the parents shake hands, you're married, okay? And they call that time of marriage the betrothed time. So in other words, you're committed. You can't just go off and marry someone else, okay? But you didn't go and live together yet. You had 1 year staying with your parents. So the little lady had 1 year of getting those last lessons in from mom, how to run a household, manage things. Okay. The guy had 1 year to maybe get some property together or get his business and trade together and be ready to be the head of a house and support a family. 1 year where they were waiting, this anticipation. They're making sure that no one is pregnant yet, right? Okay, she's pure. Okay, this is good. Okay, he's been faithful to his parents. Okay, I still want to marry him. And then at the end of the 1 year, it's like, okay, we're now confirming. Everyone's good. Everyone's ready. And then there was this big celebration, a procession, where they had this big party, and the husband walked from his house to the wife's house. People are playing music. The neighbors are all showing up and throwing things. It's a big, loud procession. They walk all the way to the bride's house, have a little party there at the bride's house. Yeah, yeah, we made it. Phew, you know. A one date night was a close one. I'm glad we didn't mess it up. Lord, whoa, you know, but whatever it was joy. We've been expecting this. We've been waiting, you know, and I've been thinking about you for a year and all this, and now I'm just so ready to be with you and marry you. And so, and then they would have the little party, and then the bride or the groom would walk his bride back to the house that he had prepared, and that's where the procession went in, and that's where everyone else had to go home, because then it was their time, right? And that was the happy ending to a wedding. So this time, Joseph and Mary have begun to think about this. They've begun their time of preparation, right? They're betrothed. And then what happens? Uh-oh, we found out Mary is pregnant. It's almost always as a deal breaker and huge shame for Mary's family, right? And so Joseph is thinking to himself, all right, this isn't going to happen. The things I've been expecting, I've been waiting in anticipation, it's just not going to work out. I want to be a godly man, though. I want to treat her with honor. And I'm going to break this off the right way. And the angel shows up and says, it's okay. I'm sending in, God is sending his son. God is sending someone special. And it's really not about your marriage, Joseph. It's about something way bigger than that. He says, your wife will conceive something from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph realizes this is something way bigger than me. This is all about God and his people. And I am just a servant. And so Joseph agrees to, even though it looks rough, to go ahead and take Mary as a wife and be a part of God's plan. And then we have this great story of just this wonderful mother of Jesus. We see him later in life, right? And they had this family, and Jesus has brothers. And God worked in that relationship. And God would often send a hero to take care of relationships. Sometimes God would send an angel. Sometimes God would pick one of us. He'd pick one of us and he'd say, you know what? Okay, there's a family down the street and they trust you, and I'm sending you into a rough situation, and I want you to save that marriage, or just talk with your friend, or whatever it is. But I'm sending you to go and take care of that and restore that relationship. And so Jesus' number one mission was to come back down, and was to come down here and say, I'm going to pay the price so that the relationship that we ruined with the Lord can be saved. And so I don't know if any of you have been on Emmaus. I know a couple of you have. There's this event that we call Emmaus Walk. And basically you go to this place, and I think they still take away your watches, right? You don't know what time it is. And you have these sessions, and you spend some time with other believers. And the idea is you see that God's really been there the whole time, right? And there's some things that we don't talk about because we don't want to spoil some of the surprises of the Emmaus weekend. But just so many great stories coming out of there. And one particular lady, Cindy, she went on an Emmaus walk, and you know what? She basically was a Christian earlier in life, and I don't know what happened, but something didn't work out. And she was kind of like, I don't even know if I want to, if I even want to call myself Christian anymore. I don't know if I even want to go to church. I don't know if I want to take the time. I just, Lord God, I feel like I've just disappointed you over and over and over. I'm embarrassed. She said, I'm just embarrassed just to even act like I am a follower of Jesus. I just feel like I just ruined it 100 times. And I've asked for forgiveness 100 times, and for me to say it again just feels embarrassing, Lord. I just feel like I'm just faking it. I just feel terrible. I just want to go hide in a hole. So Cindy, she goes on this Emmaus walk, And her friend sort of talked her into it. They're like, you know, you need to pick me up. You just need to realize just how much God loves you anyway. And how he is still willing to put things back together. So Cindy's like, if you watch my kids for me, I'll go in this thing. So Cindy goes on this walk. She goes through the whole process and makes some friends, hears some talks. And whatever God does there, something in her heart. And she comes out of this event like, I have just been so ignorant to you, Lord. I didn't realize how great your love is and how shallow I've been. And though I've messed up, I just feel like you've just been waiting for me, Lord. I don't feel ashamed at all. And she just gave her family and herself back to the Lord. And she became like just this beautiful Christian lady. She's like a mentor to other young ladies now. And it's just, she just had to realize, man, Jesus, that's what it was. I just needed you, Jesus. I was just doing religion or something. I just needed Jesus. And so she gave her heart to the Lord. And now God just brought that relationship with her back together, fixed a relationship with her kids, fixed a relationship with her friends and the people that she felt that she had offended. And God is still willing to do that today. God with us means he still fixes those relationships. It might just be our relationship with him. It might be with others. And man, at Christmas time, probably more than any other time of the year, if you feel like you've been drifting away, or if you feel like, man, I used to be close to God, I used to be on fire, and I don't know what happened, there's no better time than when we're talking about Emmanuel, God with us, to say, you know what, Lord? I need you. I want to put all my disappointments, I'm going to put all my shame down. I'm going to come to the cross. And God's like the prodigal son. He is so excited to restore that relationship with you today. So God with us, what does it mean, God? Emmanuel, God with us, one more thing. So Matthew was talking about the birth of Jesus, and he's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then it was like the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and Matthew launches into his gospel, and he tells about everything that Jesus did all the way up to the end, and he's like doing miracles, he's gathering disciples, and it's like, we know that the church is about to be birthed soon, and he goes on the cross, and he dies, and they're brokenhearted, and he comes back to life, and he shows, like, I'm the Messiah, and they're thrilled, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and the disciples are just, like, energized to be this church. And then finally Jesus says, and I'm getting ready now to go back to the Father, and I'm now giving it to you. I'm putting it all in your hands. You're going to be the church. You're the mission. You're the whole mission to reach the world. I trust you. I'm giving this to you. You're going to be my disciples. You're the way that God is going to reach the world. Here you go. Right? And he says one last thing. And he says, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so one more way that when God says he's going to be with us, that being Emmanuel, that means now that we are disciples. If you are a disciple, if you follow Jesus, that he is now with you in a way that he's going to be working with you in your faith. And when you want to reach out and be God's hands and feet, he is right there ready and willing to be your help. And when you fall down and you mess up, God's right there with you. He's like, you know what? We're going to use this. It was a mess up, but we're going to turn into something great. My dads, everyone sort of just eventually finds their thing when they start walking with Jesus, right? Holy Spirit gives them gifts, and everyone here has their own thing, right? I can't play the drums, right? But we have like three drummers or something, like, just, you know, God spreads it out, right? And somehow my dad never anywhere on his radar ever, prison ministry. And I don't know what happened, but some guy just said, hey, we go to prison and we talk to people about God. You want to do that with us? And now he says, he's like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I said yes. He's like, I never would have said yes to that, but just some God just did something in that moment. And then I felt like, oh crap, I said yes, now I can't get out of it. And so he got involved in this thing called Kairos Prison Ministry. And so what they do is they go in there into different prisons for about 3 or 4 days, and they bring in like thousands of cookies, because there's a rule, like a fairness. If you're going to, if prisoner A here has decided to be in this little program for 3 days and I want to give him like 2 dozen cookies, I have to give 2 dozen cookies to every prisoner in the entire prison. You know, that way there's like not fights and stuff like that and all kinds of mess, which they've experienced. They've learned their lessons, right? So part of his ministry is he calls us up about once every two to four times a year, says, hey, we're planning a Kairos weekend. Could you come and help us make like 100 dozen cookies? And so we just say, yeah. And so, you know, and he recruits his friends and they go in there and they go in, they got their program, they got their tables, they have their talks. And they start talking to these guys that just feel like their life is just wasted. They don't go into the small like prisons and jails. They just go into like the long-term, medium to maximum security. And they strategically pick the people that are going to be involved in the weekend. They invite like the gang leaders. They invite like the prisoners who have the most influence over the other prisoners. It's very strategic. They said, you know, if this guy gets saved, his voice trickles down to these other like 30 or 40 here. So let's invite him first. He doesn't have to come, but he might. Right? And generally people want to come because they get out of doing chores or boredom or whatever. And so Dad said, it's been this wild ride. I go and I sit at this table and we talk to these prisoners. And they'll say stuff that I'm completely unprepared for. They'll say, well, what about when Allah says that he's going to do this? And God's like, I don't know anything about the Muslim teachings. Or what about when, you know, how can that be true if this, and they spray some sort of like little science blurb they read somewhere maybe 10 years ago, and they don't even really know what they're talking about. They're just asking everything that's on their mind. And Dad's like, no, I have no idea what to say. So I just say, well, I don't know. I just heard that God said this, and I trusted him. And then after a few times of walking with the Lord, I just found that it was true. I don't know all the reasons. I just know that God is just trustworthy. And so time after time after time, these prisoners, these like guys that have probably, some of them have killed people, some of them have not, are asking Dad these questions, and he's basically saying, I don't know, I just trust God, and things work out. I just trust God, and he's always taking care of me, he's always been with me, over and over and over. And so one time he said something like this, I don't remember how he said it, but he's like, you know, God's with me even coming here to talk to you. Because, you know, it's, I don't know if it's scary or what it's like for him, but God so used him. God so used people that have never been to prisons before to go in and talk to prisoners. God used people that aren't really, haven't really even maybe even met their neighbors, but maybe they're going to go out on Christmas Eve and hand out goodies. You know, God used people that, you know, maybe I don't know that many people on my college campus, but maybe I'll just invite someone to something and God will use it. God continually will use it and he'll be with you as a disciple. You know, as you're trying to raise your kids to know the Lord, as you're trying to be a Christian at work, as you're trying to be a blessing to others when you get together for family at Christmas time, all those things. God says, I'll be with you as a disciple too. And I'm going to help you. I didn't just give you a mission and leave you on your own. I'm going to give you success. I'm going to be right there with you. And you're going to have this ministry even if you don't think it's a ministry. You're going to have this great ministry even if you don't call it that. I'm going to use you for great things. Other people are going to be blessed because of you, like that mentor who mentored my buddy whose was a mess. You know, he didn't think about it, but God was using him, right? And Cindy, when she went on to Emmaus, she didn't think about it. The other people who were there with her didn't think about it, but they were all ministering to her, and God used them. And God is with us as disciples. And it's his promise. He promised it word for word. I'm going to be with you to the end. No matter what, we have Christians in other countries being martyred. And Jesus is with them to the end. And their testimony never dies. And their families still tell the story. And others have come to faith because of them. And God is with you, whether your life was a mess right now, or whether you need to get back to the Lord, maybe you need a hero to step in. God is with you as you want trying to live out your faith and be real, and I want to walk what I talk. God is with you. He is the true Emmanuel, and he wants to bless you this Christmas season and the rest of your life. He wants to be with you. But part of it is Spurgeon used to, he quoted John Wesley. It's kind of like, but he would quote famous people, and he would say, you know what? It's a shame sometimes that God tries so hard to be with us, and we just walk away on our own. He's like, He is Emmanuel, God with us. Won't you be with God? Won't you be with Him too? And so this Christmas season, I want to invite you to consider, what does it mean that because of Jesus, that God is with you? Do you need that restored relationship? Do you need God to jump in and bring order to some chaos? Do you want to take the next step in your faith as a disciple and be empowered to have God with you to give you success and reach your friends or raise up your kids in the right way or help you to be a man of God or a woman of God at work or at school? You know, what does it mean for you? And if God wants to be with us, how can you be with Him this Christmas season especially? You know, I think I got a family Christmas here in a couple hours, and I'm thinking, you know what? Lisa's at home sick today. It's like me and the kids, and it's going to be crazy. I'm like, you know what, God, I just need you to be with me. I need to be a man of God when it's nuts, right? But it's me saying, I want to be with you, Lord. I'm willing to do that if everything else falls down. Okay? Are you willing to do that? Don't be afraid to call on the Lord and be with Him just as He is Emmanuel for you today. Would you stand and pray with me?
I'm going to call an audible, praise team. Let's do that first song again.
Amen, amen. Lord God, I'm so grateful that You are Emmanuel, that You are with us. I'm so grateful, Father, that You sent Jesus and You sent heroes to Your people and You sent mentors and people to step in and bring order, Lord God. Oh God, I worship You and I'm so grateful for You, Lord, for how You love Your people and how You love every person in this room right now. I pray, Father God, as we go into Christmas and we have this expectation and we're thinking about how You're going to be with us, Lord, that You would just give just a peace and a love to everyone here. Bless every family. May we just be Your absolute hands and feet in our families and in our community this week. Thank You so much, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.